He will tarry with us, and he'll be with us clear to the very end. We're in a world of changing, that changes all the time. But there's a comfort in the scriptures, and I want to read in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter this morning, share some of that comfort with you. There's one thing about God. He never changes. He's always the same. He will be the same clear till the end. And I believe his ways are reasonable, very reasonable. His doings and his wisdom is so far above ours. I'm glad this morning that we have him to give us strength and comfort, and he brings and narrows down things in our life. One thing that I was thinking about is one this week, and was reading some of the scriptures. So I'd like to share with you in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is of the same, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the word, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You notice how the Lord is saying here there may be differences in the operations of God and people's lives, but it's the same Spirit. There may be those that he's entrusted with the gift of tongues, but it's by the same Spirit. To another gift of healings, but behind all of that, the same Spirit that's working through everyone. There's not two different Holy Spirits. There's not multiple kinds of spirits that God that are contradictory in his body. There's one Spirit that is working to bring unity. It's working to bring peace. It's working to encourage and upbuild the kingdom of God. If a spirit comes along and we find that it's harsh and critical and it has very little mercy, it's very judgmental, that's not the Spirit of Christ. That's not God. That's not the way he works. That's not the way, how he deals. The Lord has a Spirit. His Holy Spirit is given. It said here, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, a profiting, an upbuilding, a lifting up, an encouraging Spirit. That's the Lord. It's not found in the harsh tones of critical people and people that sit on judgment seats and judge and they put others down and overlook their own faults. No, the Lord is working to help us to see that he is one. He is a unique. He is a very righteous, a very concerned, a very unifying spirit. It brings us together. It doesn't divide us. He said, all these worketh, that one and self-same spirit. There's a blending together. And there's little strings, there's little fibers, but those fibers and strings are all meshing together to bring the body together. And it's not to separate. The devil divides, but God brings together and He unites. And He brings together to one. And that purpose is to glorify Himself. Let's read on just a little bit. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There's a working, there's a unity, there's a blending together of Christ's body. It's a beautiful thing, really. When you see the Lord begin to temper this one that has a type A personality and this one here has a type B, and you see different personalities of people and different drives of people and different inspirations of people. But when you see the Lord come by and temper all of those personalities and all those spirits, and there's a common thread that goes between each one of them, that's the Spirit of the Lord working, and He's doing that to bring His body together and to bring His people together. What we're finding in the world, what's happening, the loosening of our society, the loosening of between people, it's almost like there is such confusion, and you can have people that watch the same thing, that read the same thing, that hear the same thing, but come apart in their interpretation of it. It's almost like we're living in the time of Babel, and the confusion and all. So people are hearing things and they're speaking, and things are just way out of line. What are we finding now? People are wanting to do away with the statues around in our country. Oh, that statue, it represents racism. That statue does this and that. That statue is a part of our history, and you can't erase that. That was part of us. There's people want to get rid of the things that maybe make themselves look bad today when they look back and say, oh, yeah, that was our forefather. Let's get rid of that so we don't remember what we were once like. But you know what? I believe that the Lord is trying to help our bring things together, and the enemy is succeeding in breaking people apart. We're majoring on our minors, and things that just has no significance, really, where it's like that's focused on, you know what, God wants to bring us together. He wants to make us one. He wants to help us to see that we're one. The strivings and the wrangling, the going back and forth, and the hatred and all that's coming out in our world, it's awful. It's tiring. I get tired of hearing all of it, and seeing all the discord and everything. Where's all that discord coming from? It's coming from the devil. And he's trying to, and he's not just trying, he is dividing us. You know, we may be in the new normal, and that's hard to accept. The new normal. But Lord, help us today. Wherever we're at in time, we're at a critical place in time. The Lord comforted me, though, this week, said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. All the things going around the world, He still has one body. He still has one purpose and one plan. And if we can get away from all the noise and all of the confusion that we're hearing and seeing and television, radio and all this. There's so much stuff going on. Lord, help us to remember Christ's body is one. His people are working together. And he still has a beautiful body. I'm going to read on down. For by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. We've read that before. Jews or Gentiles, it doesn't matter. We're all the same. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But he said, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. The members are many. The Spirit is one. And God is working to put members together, to work together. One of the points of your salvation, remember this, it's been argued and people have debated. One way you can tell you're saved is by getting along with one another. If you have a professed salvation and you can't get along with anybody, what does that show? What does that do when it's compared to the scripture, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you love one another? You might say, I love the Lord, but I just don't get along with anybody else. I just can't get along with nobody. They don't fit in with me. What does that show? It's just one of the tests of our salvation is working together and getting along with people. And do you know what? Our world is fast coming to a selfish thinking only of one person and my needs being met and this happening for me. God wants to help us to see we're all together. We're working together. When people, the people of God, work together, much can be accomplished. I have a burden this morning that God would help us to not forget the oneness of the body. In the book of Galatians 3:28, we'll start reading there. I don't have a real long subject this morning, but it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there, I'm reading in Galatians 3:28, neither is there bond nor free, neither is there male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ Jesus. That makes it, it boils down to a closeness. A closeness. We're one in Christ. We have this song in our songbook. It says, as sweet strains of heavenly music blend in one harmonious sound. I believe it's one in Christ. Could I read this? Some of these, maybe a verse here. It's so beautiful to see the number 230. Bear with me just a moment here. As sweet strains of heavenly music blend in one harmonious sound, so the members of Christ's body in blessed unity are found. One in mind, one in spirit, one in doctrine, faith and love, one in name, O precious union, like the angel host above. Not like waves upon the ocean, tossing wildly, rolling high, or the tempest's great commotion as it sweeps across the sky, but like twilight gently stealing o'er the verdant shady lea, so the holy saints in Zion rest from all their sins set free. Love, the theme of all their praises, doth in holy bond unite all their hearts in Him made perfect, turn from darkness into light. Thus the saved in Christ together dwell in sacred unity, in the secret of His presence hid away, dear Lord, in Thee. So many good things. Being one in Christ. That's the message today. That's what we need to hear. It's what we need to be, is one in Christ. Not two in Christ, but one in Christ. People are challenging everything. And I tell you, it's pathetic. We've gotten ourselves in such a terrible time. And it's because we've forgotten some of these simple things, like the oneness of Christ's body. We're together. We're not separated. We're not dividing and working and pulling apart from each other. We're working together. In the book of the Song of Solomon, 6 and 9, says something beautiful here that is refreshing to hear today. My beloved, not is two, but is one. Song of Solomon, 6 and 9. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? The church of God is one. It is composed of blood-bought people, blood-washed people, people that have been under the fountain. They have come to the cross. They believed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They're made one. He doesn't just take children and they can just all believe and do their own thing. He trains them. He teaches them. He washes them in His blood. And then he instructs them in the way that which they will go. And it's beautiful. And He said, she is beautiful. My undefiled is but one. So this morning, the oneness of God's people, the beauty of God's people, it is so wonderful to see God's people working together. In my mind, when I was a young person, there was something registered in my mind to the people that had something. I remember this brother that got up, and I was a young boy, but he got up, and there was two brothers in the congregation. They were older, but this one, every time I would see him get up and sing a song, he would just break down in tears and cry, and I was touched as a child. There's something in me that said, that man has something. That man has something. He's got something. And as a child, I just remember, oh, there's Earl Brown. I can't wait to hear him sing. And he would sing that song when he reached down his hand for me. And he would start just tears rolling down his cheeks when he reached down his hand for me. And how beautiful that was to me as a child. And I didn't know hardly anything about salvation, but to hear someone that was connected to the Lord, I just was connected to Him. I just felt like that was beautiful. I want to be like that. And then there's some that didn't have that, I don't know, it didn't seem like they were of the same spirit. So it made me to know there's a difference. And I would love for us all to have our spiritual senses honed to be able to tell the difference between those that are one and pulling together and those that are not. If we can keep a good sensitivity, they say they teach people at banks to recognize real money, what it feels like. Put real money in their hand. They can. I've walked into a room they have there at the Bank of Oklahoma, and there was people lined all up, all around the edges, and they were counting money, piles of money. They say if you can learn to feel the real money, you won't have trouble finding the false money, counterfeit. Lord, help us today to recognize the oneness of Christ's body. Ephesians 2 and 15 tells us something here that I love this whole chapter. He said, in starting off here in this first verse, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And might we say here today, we can't recognize the real oneness of Christ's body until we have been quickened. And Lord, help us to have that. He said, "Where in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to this prince of the power, the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You know, when we have that experience of sitting in heavenly places, we'll be spoiled to anything else. We will. And we will be so grateful when we come into those places where God's people are together, they're one, they're pulling together. There's something, a little taste of heaven just comes down in our midst. Thank the Lord. He says here in the 12th verse that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Aliens. You had no inheritance. You had no connection. You had no ties in any way, socially. Maybe a little social tie there, but basically the commonwealth of Israel was the unifying, the inside group of people that had the knowledge of Christ. They had it, they lived it, and enjoyed it among themselves. They knew the law, they knew the they had the fear of God. That commonwealth of Israel, that place where there is a spiritual connection, we need that. We need that bad. But he said there was a time when you was absent. You didn't have that connection. You might have had a little social contact, and you were around the fringes or on the outside, but you didn't have that inside connection. It's different looking outside than it is on the inside. And that's what we need. You might have a lot of knowledge of what goes on. You may look from the outside in and say, "Oh, I know everything they're doing." But unless we have that personal connection with Christ that makes us one, unless we have that experience, we're just on the outside looking in. Yes, we can go along. We can say, "Well, I know how they do. I can dress. I can even talk. I can even, you know, I can have some kind of connection here." But really what makes us one is being washed in the blood of Christ, having that real experience of salvation, the real experience of it. It makes us a new creature. We're different. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he said here, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You were on the outside, but now you're on the inside. You're made nigh. You become one by the blood. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall, a partition between us. That separate chamber, the separate place. We were in a different place, but he's broken the middle wall that kept us out. He's broke it down. He's taken away color. He's taken away the caste. There's so many places that have different castes of people. Here's the elite, and here's ones below them, and ones below them. You know, folks, I've said, I believe evolution, the theory of evolution, the principles taught in public schools about evolution, and evolution itself teaches racism. It teaches things that brings about a divisiveness in people. I have people disagree. No, I don't think so. Well, what do you think evolution is? It's the higher, it's a classification. It teaches different levels. The Lord never taught that. You're made one by the blood. One blood. All nations are of one blood. There is no such thing as this. Some are better, more intelligent, and some are lesser down here. You know what? Evolution has done a lot to destroy the oneness and the unity. It's done a lot to break apart our society. Evolution is wicked. Evolution is something you don't evolve. You never, never. Science, there's never order that's brought from chaos. Where do you find chaos? And then order comes out of that. All of a sudden, there's this massive muddy puddle, and then all of a sudden, out of that jumps human life. Order and chaos. God is the only one that spoke the world into existence, and he brought chaos, or he took chaos and brought it into order. But to say, and that's why the evolutionists have to add, this world is billions and billions, 11 billion years old, because their theory that man evolved has to have this billions of years of time, and order is going to come out of chaos through this evolutionary. Oh, folks, I tell you, it's so far different than what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches such different. God created man. He took man. He formed him out of the clay of the earth. That was something. There was nothing there, but he took clay and he spoke. And he breathed in his breath the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He's the only one that's brought order out of chaos. But he'd done it as quick as he wanted. I don't know. How long do you think it'd take God to shape man, and then to make one, and to make the whole world? 7 days, it's all done. We have such a difference. But I want to tell you that our beliefs are being attacked viciously by people that are spreading the theories of evolution, the spreading the ideas of humanism and all that. They're doing something to destroy, and it's happening. I believe there's things that will never be the same again. God, help us to be ready for change. Help us to have some principles in our heart to believe that things that God does never changes. He is our peace. He is our peace. It's not our righteousness, it's God's peace. He's what brings us together. He abolished the in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man by his own body, him becoming a curse for us. As the scripture said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The Lord became a curse for us, and he abolished. He put the old out of the way. He brought in the new. Now there is only redemption through his blood. It's not of the old law. It's not of the old ways. It's a new covenant. He said, I'll give to you a new covenant. He's abolished the old, brought in the new, and we're recipients of his blessings this morning. Thank God for that. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, breaking down everything. When he died, just in the temple, that separation that was there with the veil between the holy and the most holy, that veil was rent in twain. It shredded. It was opened up, and there was a way made now through Christ that we can enter into the most holy. Thank the Lord for that today. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, the Jews and the Gentiles. Though that were afar off were the Jews, the Gentiles, and those that were supposedly, they were the people of God or his chosen, he's brought both of them together. Not one above the other. It bothered some of the Jews in the early morning time that the Gentiles could come right in among them. They could eat things that the Jews that had the knowledge of God, they couldn't do, and it bothered some of them. It bothered some of them to the point they couldn't stand them. They couldn't stand them. I just can't stand you. Look what they're doing. Lord, they're polluting. They're doing this and that. And the Lord had a bigger picture. You know, it was enlightening for the Jews. And it was hard for them. Peter one time, he couldn't stand with the group of people. He kind of separated himself over here from the Gentiles and went over here with the Jews. And Paul rebuked him. Lord, help us today. The oneness of Christ's body, it's a beautiful thing. We need the Lord to help us today to stay together. Now it said, for through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He's saying you've got a key. Just like those that were without knowledge, they had a way to get in. But he said there's an access from either way, from the Jews and the Gentiles. You have an access. You have a key to get in. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Thank the Lord for that today. No more strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens, because we've been brought together by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Do you think in heaven there's going to be different streets where certain people live on that are isolated and they're a little better than the others? I don't really believe it'll be that way. I think it'll be a place where everyone has common ground. They'll all be thankful. They've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They'll live in harmony. There'll be sweet singing. There'll be so many things, so many things. So let's practice today. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. And let's never underestimate the power of one. It's the power of one. When the people had a mind to work back in Nehemiah's time, they had the power of one. And that power of one was complete because everyone was pulling the same direction. They had masons, they had carpenters, they had iron workers, and all those people combined, they had a oneness. They had a mind to work. The Tower of Babel actually was constructed with a mind. The people had a mind to work, but it was going in the wrong direction. They were all pulling for the same thing. They were all laboring. They said, let's build a tower. Let's build a place because the next flood that happens, and believe me, those people rehearsed. I don't know what, when they got off the ark and they began to multiply, the people, they had children, the story passed down, and I don't know how many hundred years, I don't know how many years it was before that Tower of Babel. I don't, in my mind right now, have it. But of all the people that were there, they had all heard and rehearsed and the story of the flood. It was on their minds. And they were trying to, this time, to outdo the height of the water. We're going to have a place. And they was working together. But it was the wrong direction. The Lord told them when they got off the ark, go into all the earth. Possess all the earth. Go in. How much different would history, we can't change, but what would have happened had the people said, I believe I'm going this direction. And they took off. And gradually, in the length of time between the leaving the ark to the building of the Tower of Babel, had they spread abroad and kept going, how far could they have gotten? How much could have been done? And if the language would have still been the same, just think of how powerful that would be. But then Tower of Babel comes along and it was broken up. The power was broken. They were not able to communicate. And then they truly had to go to different parts of the world. And they left each other. They left their strengths. A lot of them left. I know. I just believe it happened. Many were angry with the others. Why don't you talk like I do anymore? How come you don't speak the same? So they were dispersed. What the Lord told them to do, and they didn't do that. They stayed right there in that one valley. They stayed right there in that one place, built this big tower. It was going the wrong way. Yeah, they were one. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. God help us today. When we obey the Lord, He's going to help us, and He'll be our strength, and He'll work with us and help us. Let's not forget the power of one and staying close to the Lord. Amen.